On this week's big story, we travel to Tokyo as the city braces itself for nuclear catastrophe.
The quantity of radioactivity involved is... nobody has ever thought of an accident involving so much radioactivity before.
There's a huge quantity of spent nuclear fuel that were stored in a pool of water, and fire can be caused by such spent nuclear fuels, or in the case of reactors number 1, 2, and 3, this could trigger the blowing up of the reactor building.
This catastrophe now shows the end of the safety speech of the nuclear industry.
After the massive earthquake and tsunami, we follow the effort to understand what was going on behind the scenes at Fukushima. The Japanese Prime Minister was called in to try and calm the increasing public anxiety.
Officials have said 10 or 20 kilometers away is a safe area, but the radiation may change and go out wider. It's very disturbing, and we're stuck here.
The emergency services in Tokyo are on high alert should the worst happen. As the government extended the exclusion zone to 30 kilometers and thousands fled, the situation at the site was still dominated by a lack of accurate information.
Currently, I don't have that much information on the reactor, nuclear reactor itself. But now we are starting to see problems with the adjacent areas or the peripheral problems. As we learned, the reactor building for reactor number one had a hydrogen explosion on the inside, and there was another explosion at reactor number three. So as we have heard, there are some damages being incurred to reactor number one and reactor number three.
As night falls on one of the most momentous days in Japan's history, nowhere in Tokyo are the effects of the country's nuclear disaster more aptly felt than here at Shibuya Crossing. Now, the advertising boards behind me are globally known for being wildly illuminated with bright colors. But tonight, the lights are going out over Tokyo. As Japan's capital began to feel the effects of the disaster in the north, our minds turned to the immediate future and what might happen next.
In a worst-case scenario, I mean, there are various views about how bad it could get, but worst-case scenario involves some sort of explosion expelling significant quantities of radioactive material into the air and then having that carried on the wind a considerable distance. There's already radioactivity in Tokyo, and certainly more radioactivity would come to Tokyo in that scenario. Whether it would be a Chernobyl in terms of the amount of radioactivity that was spewed continuously is a bit hard to say, but the absence of graphite in the reactor. In the case of Chernobyl, graphite meant that you had fires going for a long, long time, and you don't have that this time. But you can get a significant amount of radioactivity. And the point here is that in the case of Chernobyl, you had one reactor, but in this case, you've got six reactors, or you've got three reactors with full loads. You've got six reactors with spent fuel pools, and you've got another big spent fuel pool on the side.
Those living in the disaster zone were now under no illusions regarding their safety. The technique being used at Fukushima to cool the core was largely experimental, and some believe it showed a lack of real understanding of the situation or adequate safety planning.
If they had been honest in the first place about the risk of earthquakes, nobody would have let them build them there. And if they then decided to respond to all the faults that they subsequently found, then they would it would be too expensive to keep them going. So they've deliberately downplayed the risks all along. And now what has happened is what could have been predicted. One particular area where I think that they've been remiss is in regard to tsunamis. They didn't design the plant to take into account the sort of tsunami that occurred on this occasion. And in fact, engineers involved in the design of the plant have made this point quite clearly.
Initially, they had the water injection systems that they normally use, but that failed and they were unable to inject water. So they added systems that would only be used for severe accidents. The system that you see over here is normally used for extinguishing fire. This is not usually used for the purpose of cooling, but they sort of made a makeshift system to so that this can be used to supply water to cool.
The situation is really, really serious because the authorities are ready to kill a reactor because they are putting water, salt water, inside the reactor, and we don't have any experience of using salt water to cool down a reactor. So we know that the authorities are ready to destroy a reactor to avoid the worst scenario, but we can't say that the worst have been avoided. This catastrophe now shows the end of the safety speech of the nuclear industry, saying who has said during these last 25 years that the Chernobyl case could not happen again anywhere else in the world. We now see that this is not true.
Meanwhile, Tokyo Electric Power Company says the cooling pumps at the Fukushima No. 3 reactor failed.
This satellite image of the site shows the massive damage caused by the explosions and subsequent fire. By now, measurements of the drains near Fukushima were recording levels of radiation 4,385 times higher than the legal limit. And then more revelations came about the way plants like Fukushima had been built.
I am surprised that the earthquake this time was far beyond or far greater than the conditions or assumed conditions on which the design specification was based.
So in the design of Fukushima's safety features, such a large earthquake and tsunami were simply considered unthinkable.
There is a very severe situation in that the nuclear spent nuclear fuel caused a fire or because they were not sufficiently cooled.
Fuel in there, the spent fuel and the fuel in the reactors, is hot. It will remain hot for many, many years. So it's an ongoing problem.
When I started to be involved in the plants at Fukushima when I was in the 20s, we used to simply copy GE's plant when it came to plant engineering. And those plans didn't take tsunami into account as the conditions that were given to make the specification too. And when it came the time where we didn't simply go through GE to design our own plant, practice we seem to have followed suit in GE's thinking in that we didn't take tsunami into account.
Whilst the tactic of pumping seawater into the plant managed to avoid further explosions, it was ultimately creating ever-increasing quantities of contaminated material, some of which was leaking into the area around the site.
Where does all this discharge water end up going to? Is there a pond? Is there a holding tank? Where do they keep the water? I heard today in one of the pieces that I reviewed that they have seen some seawater contamination in the Pacific Ocean somewhere a mile away from the plant to the south and north, which means that unfortunately maybe some of this water may be leaching or being discharged to the sea.
They started the review to see if the safety equipment would be in operation even when a tsunami hit. However, even though I don't remember the detailed data, the tsunami that was anticipated then was much smaller than the tsunami that we saw this time.
From the tsunami, rapidly. Live coverage from our helicopter up in northern Miyagi Prefecture. We're at tsunami, obviously coming in several sweeps. In Miyagi Prefecture, in Sendai City, from the Pacific Ocean, engulfing.
The Japanese Prime Minister was forced to admit the scale of the earthquake and tsunami had taken them all by surprise.
The earthquake this time caused a tsunami that surpassed the limit of what we ever imagined. In principle, there is a backup system that supports the nuclear power plant operation, even if a tsunami attacks. But unfortunately, this time, there was a problem in implementing it.
Were there any design flaws in the construction or location of the plant at Fukushima?
Yeah, I mean, anywhere in Japan is an earthquake-prone region, as far as all the regions where the nuclear power plants are sited. And I don't think that people thought that this was the most dangerous place, but it was certainly dangerous, as we now see. I think that earthquake design has been inadequate from the start. It has been deliberately minimised in order to cut costs and in order to convince the population that it was safe.
Was the country well placed to deal with an event of this magnitude?
I think that Japan is better placed to deal with an earthquake than almost any other country in the world. But this earthquake has been different, and people say it was a one in 10,000 year event. So that's telling you how badly they've been discombobulated because they didn't plan for something as big as that.
At this press conference on the emerging disaster, people wanted to know what the actual effects of exposure to radiation would be.
So DNA gets really damaged and broken, and the cell division cannot take place. At 99.9% of the time, people die when 6,000 to 7,000 tracks of radiation go through the DNA or go through the nucleus. But there is a possibility that you could get cancer later on. It could be several years later, it could be decades later.
With the safety of tap water and certain types of food now being questioned, did the citizens of Tokyo feel safe? Were they getting enough information?
It's far from Fukushima, so I'm not worrying right now, but a little bit fear. I have a little bit fear.
This is for anyone on the panel, what the ongoing crisis at Fukushima means for Tokyo and the surrounding area.
I think that really depends on how big of a scale, to what extent the current accident can develop into. And as you just heard, when it comes to exposure to radiation, even low dose radiation can still have effect. It is often said that the issue of exposure depends largely on the wind directions and other conditions. Therefore, there are great deals of uncertain factors involved, which makes it difficult to predict what will happen at what stage. So at this particular moment in time, I can't really tell what the effect will be, whether the effect will be quite significant or it will turn out to be not so significant. So I'd like to add just one comment. As we learned with the problems caused by earthquake and tsunami, there are problems or a situation where there are a lot of uncertain factors. Facing such situation, we should always be on the side of considering safety.
I suppose those of us who live in Tokyo are worried about the nuclear problems, and we haven't been very well informed about these events, so we're we're not very pleased with the way the authorities have dealt with it.
Whilst news teams such as ourselves were trying to make sense of the situation, the Japanese media seemed to be taking a different approach.
I think there was definitely a distinct division between the way that Japanese have reacted to this issue and the way that it's been looked at from the outside. If we talk about the media, first of all, there was very definitely a division in the sense that the Japanese media tended, if anything, to play down the issue. They tended to cooperate with government efforts to maintain public calm, and to not blow things out of proportion and maybe even to minimize the risk to the public from the radiation exposure.
Now that radiation had been detected in the capital, we spoke to local residents about their fears for the future.
As we hear more reports about the unfolding situation at the nuclear plant, are you afraid?
Yes, I'm afraid because this huge earthquake is... this is the biggest one we have ever had, so we didn't know what was happening in Tokyo, and I think no one had been interested in the nuclear power, how those plants are working, so we don't know what's happening, and we don't know how to react.
With the safety of tap water and certain types of food now being questioned, did the citizens of Tokyo feel safe? Were they getting enough information?
It's a natural disaster, so there's nothing I can do. But I'm scared that the radiation might start moving towards Tokyo.
Forget the professional for a moment. Personally, as an expat living in this country for so many years, were you afraid at any point?
Sure. I mean, I think that our lives have been in danger to some degree. The question then is how much danger or how high are those risks? The idea that, for example, the air itself being outdoors like we are now could pose a special risk to our future health is something that gets you thinking. And so definitely mortality is on the mind for not only me, but I think everybody.
Meanwhile, back in the northeast, where the clear-up was now in full swing, emergency workers were painting a less than optimistic picture of the emerging situation. Even if the information being released by the government was patchy, few in and around the affected area were taking any chances. At the same time, local government had introduced scanning areas. These people are being scanned for excessive amounts of radiation, which, if found, could result in people being quarantined. The exclusion zone set up around the damaged site was itself becoming a source of controversy. Other official sources quickly concluded that the 30-kilometer radius established by the government was an insufficient distance.
We are here at the Itate village, which is about 40 kilometers from the Fukushima nuclear reactor. People are still living their daily life here, but radiation levels are very high, and we strongly recommend people to move out of this area.
Following the discovery of the very high doses of radiation in villages 60 kilometers from Fukushima, the International Atomic Energy Agency pushed for an increase in the size of the exclusion zone. Other authorities appeared far more cautious, with the US government experts recommended that its citizens stay at least 80 kilometers from the contaminated site.
We expect a lot of difficulties with the mission we have been given. I think it is a really dangerous assignment. The reputation of Japan and the lives of many people rest on your actions.
These firefighters form part of the small group of emergency services tasked with cleaning up the area in and around the plant at the very heart of this nuclear disaster. So what does the future hold for the Japanese nuclear industry?
There's lots of domestic opposition, but the bureaucracy, the government and the industry are all in bed together, and it's very, very difficult to shift them. I think it is fair to say, however, that the wider public perception was that nuclear power was necessary. This was probably largely due to indoctrination, but it meant that building the sort of mass movement that could actually overcome the resistance from the bureaucracy in particular was a bit difficult to come by. But there's still a substantial movement, there's always been a substantial movement, and in local areas they have succeeded in blocking nuclear power plant projects in the past.
It's okay, they say, for the health, but we think it's very dangerous and very serious. and we are very worrying about it.
Is the town fearful of radiation at this moment?
The authorities have announced that 30 km radius around the plant has been affected by radiation. The Natori is outside the range, though we are using goggles and masks for the rescue operations.
Mr. Fingleton, what impact has this crisis had on Japan's economy?
Well, there are three things. One is the crisis of confidence, which means that the Bank of Japan has had to pump money into the banking system. Well, we hope that's going to be sorted out quite quickly. The second thing is the disruption of logistics, electricity shutdowns, and transport systems not working, shortages of oil and things like that. That's a one-month event, and it really paralyzes quite a lot of the country. Then there is the third effect, which I think is the most important in global terms, and that is that there will be major shortages because key plants producing special producers' goods are going to take many months to repair.
This is not the kind of issue which is going to be wrapped up in a week or two and people move on. This is going to be something that cripples this nation to a certain degree for some time. Now, I expect that after 6 months or a year, life will be more or less back to normal and we'll be well along the recovery path. But it's not something that people are going to bounce back from anytime soon. Obviously, the Tohoku region, the northern region where the tsunami hit, in particular, Fukushima Prefecture, these areas will not recover probably for a decade or more. But the heart of the nation here in Tokyo will make a recovery much more rapidly, I believe, because it's just in the nature of a large urban area to maintain its energy. But still, this nation was already facing so many big problems: aging society, stagnant economy, a political system which is fragmented and almost in collapse even before the accident. So I think this is going to hurt Japan even more for some time to come.
The acts of nature that led to the continuing disaster at Fukushima were beyond doubt exceptional in their destructive power. Yet those seeking to explain the spread of radiation by blaming the unforeseen nature of the events have won little public support. Both nuclear engineers and international observers have been quick to point to Japan's desire for an ever-increasing number of nuclear power stations and the way that safety considerations may have taken a back seat. Whilst Japan will recover and rebuild itself, the arguments in favor of nuclear power in the country have been dealt a serious blow.